Okay, class, welcome to Living by the Book. Turn to John chapter 5. Of course, we're going to go to verse 38. We'll do it verse 38, 39, and 40. One of the chapters that's next in the book is called Observation. You know, and of course, the main answer question asked is, what do I see? Jesus will make a statement. He say, seeing, but they see not. And hearing, they hear not. I say, well, what do you mean? I see, but I don't see it, right? What do you mean I can see, but I see not? And I found out something in Matthew chapter 16, he talks to Peter, and he said, who do men say that I am? They go through the whole story, and you have to read it for yourself. And then he says, he starts telling them what it really looks like. They're going to take me. I'm going to be taken by the chief of priests and the elders and the scribes to be killed, but I'm going to raise again on the third day. Peter jumps off the porch, say, it's not going to be under you, Lord. He rebuked Jesus. Jesus turns around to Peter and tells him, get behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense or a stumbling block to me. And he watches, he says, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. Listen to what I'm saying. Then he goes on to say, if any will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now, the word disciple and follower are our westernized English, young English language version of what this word is, but it's called Toledum. And I'm going to spell it for you. Toledum, or I don't, let me see. I think I got it in my phone. Let's see. I want to say it right. It's Talmidim. It's Talmidim. And it's really the Hebrew or the Aramaic word for what we translate a disciple or follower, but it's a mentor. Like, it's really not strong enough to describe what it is. What it really means is when somebody takes on the full life of the person that's their master. They no longer have anything distinct to themselves because they have denied themselves, taken up their cross, and followed him. I've assimilated my whole life to how his is. Whatever he has, I have. Whatever he does, I do. However he moves, I move. I've lost my identity for the sake of his. Many times we're trying to take other people, take the principles of Jesus and put them, incorporate them in our lives. Or we incorporate them into our families. Or we incorporate them into our ministries. They didn't say incorporate. He said, lose your life to find it. Watch me. And so many times I like to say this, if you don't deny yourself, you can't see your true self. He says in that scripture, after in Matthew 16, he who loses life shall find it. He who find his life shall lose it. He who loses life, my sake and the gospel, shall find it, right? It's like self can't see. You remember that statement I'm saying? Self can't see. When it's about self, you can't see. And so now we're talking observation. So your observation of what you get when you're reading into the scripture will be determined by the approach that you view it with. Now you can, you remember they used to go, they would go to the doctor. If you ever been to the eye doctor, they do the little test on you, right? And they got the words, you got to read them. And they put different lenses, different magnifications on it because they want to judge where your eyes are, right? And something they'll put over, it might be super blurry. Something they put over might get clearer. But they're trying to make a judgment of your vision, right? And a lot of times the things that come up in our lives, the situations may come up, the opportunities that look like opportunities that may come up, they're really coming up in front of you to judge your vision, to see how you can really see. Your observations. This is why he says, when you pray, pray like this. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Don't pray your own will, because if you pray your own will, what you think will be vision could be something that brings division. And you could not be seeing, you may not be seeing clearly what God is really trying to do, because it doesn't look like the normal thing. He's saving the things that be of men, not of God. So a lot of times self can't see, and you can't see. So when you're reading the scriptures, your level of deny yourself will determine how clear Jesus is to you and what his will really is. It's not going to look like everything else that's around you. Guaranteed. So now John chapter 5. Start off verse 38, and you have not his word about it. And you got to read the context. I want to press this, and I want to say this, and I always say this in this class, that make sure you read. Start off at the beginning of chapter 5. We only go to certain scriptures during the lesson of the class because we only got a certain amount of time to do so. And a lot of times the reading through the whole thing may take up the time that your, first of all, your attention span. We only do it the length that we do it, because the attention span, some of us can go for hours and hours and hours and hours, but your attention span won't take it, then you begin to yawn and go to sleep, all that stuff like that. So read the context. Verse 30, he said, you have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent, you believe not. And Jesus is talking, it's a real word. He said, so I know you ain't got his word in you, because the one that he sent to you, you don't believe him. Now remember now, in the beginning of the chapter, he said the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So I know you ain't got no word in you, because you can't even recognize who I am. I am the word. That's what Jesus is saying. Verse 39, search the scriptures. This is living by the book. It really teaches us how to search through and how to break the words down and see it. And you should learn how to do these things. And we will go through some more steps and principles on how to break those things down. But watch, he says, search the scriptures. For in them you think, understand, underline the word think. For in them you, if you got a, you know, you're using the app, highlight it. For in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. This is Jesus talking. Verse 40, and you will not come to me that you might have life. So here we now, we can see that we can search it. We can search the scriptures. We can really know them. We can memorize them. We can be all in it. But there's a possibility that you could be in it and believing that you're finding eternal life and believing that you have it and thinking that you have eternal life, but you never reach the identity of Christ. You never reach the identity of Jesus on the inside of you. And once again, let me go back. The only way that you really see into these things, observation. The question is, what do I see? Ask yourself, what do I see? But before I find out what I see, I need to find out, have I denied myself enough to see what's really going on? The language that you may be listening to right now, or the language that I speak, I don't know any other language flu. I know a few words from other language, but the language that I speak right now is English, all right? So because, I'm going to say Anglo-Saxon, because that's so funny, because I speak English, okay, then everything that I say will be interpreted in that language. Everything that I say, you can actually explain something about sports. You can actually explain something about finances. You can, whatever subject you want to do, I'm going to explain it to you in English. Why? Because English is my language. If somebody else speaks Japanese, they would explain it all in Japanese. I wouldn't understand a thing they're saying. You wouldn't either, probably. Some of y'all. Somebody might speaking in Russian, or somebody speaking in Russian, you may not understand a thing they're saying unless you had an interpreter. Unless you had somebody interpreting for you. You wouldn't understand a thing, because this is the language that they deliver the message. This is the language that they understand in. This is the language that it is spoken in. Watch what I'm saying. Now, I just alluded to the Hebrew and Aramaic word of following and everything. But watch this. Deny yourself, take up the cross and follow me is the language that Jesus speaks. It's called submission. It's called humility. It's called humble and obedient even unto death. This is his language. So regardless of Aramaic and Hebrew and English and Greek and all these different, watch this. This is the dialect that he explains things from. He doesn't speak from any other dialect. He doesn't speak from want. He doesn't speak from desire. He doesn't speak from wish. He doesn't speak from hope. He speaks from this place of submission, not my will, but the will of the Father. I seek not my own, but the will of the Father. This is Jesus' language. His language is submission. Oh, this is amazing. And so if you don't understand that his language is submission, it doesn't matter what you translate this into the Holy Bible, what language or how much you read it, because if you don't understand, if you have not, Rosetta Stone and the language thing, if you have not taken the submission 101 course, the humility 101, if you're not taking this class, then you won't even understand what he's saying to you when he's saying it. You won't even understand how it works because you're not fluid in submission. You know, people say they speak fluid and I speak such fluid. And when they would take classes in order to major in something or take a class, like especially in college, whatever language, one of the parts of that would be to live abroad for a semester. In other words, live in an area. So if you take Spanish, you would live in an area that is predominantly Spanish. You probably have little to no English. So now you can learn a few things in class. Search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. Search the scriptures. For in them you think you're going to learn my language. Search the scriptures. For in them you think you're going to learn my language. But they testify of me that the language is telling you how I speak, my dialect, but you won't come live with me abroad. You would have to go to a Spanish-speaking country. Or you go in French, you go to a French-speaking country, and you would have to live there because being there in the culture and around people, you learn the slangs and the ins and the outs and how to put the verbs and the vowels and the consonants and put the nouns and the subject of that language together. You learn how to speak it because you're entrenched and you're drowned and you're submitted, you're submerged in that culture that speaks that language. And this, regardless of what you learned in the textbook and what you took on the classes or whatever, regardless of all that, you might get really good at that. It is not until you emerge in the culture where you learn how to speak certain things in certain ways and what things mean according to the emotions and according to the time that you're going to say something. Man, you shouldn't say this to a woman. You shouldn't say this to a man. Or you shouldn't say this to children. Or you shouldn't say this in this setting. Or you shouldn't say this at this time of day. You have to be in the culture and in the move of the culture in order to really get a firm grip on having the dialect and be able to own that new language and say, this is what I speak. I am fluent in that. So we haven't become fluent in submission because we haven't submitted ourselves. We haven't gone abroad with Jesus and lived in a submitted culture. We haven't taken that journey. So now we don't understand his language. So now when we go to the scriptures, we come out with a bunch of principles. And we come out with a bunch of steps that sometimes can fail us. And we come out with principles and possibilities and all these different things, but you forgot the person. They testify of me, but you won't come to me. You forgot the person, right? You got the principle, but you forgot the person. I'm gonna say it again. You got the principle, but you forgot the person. So you're not fluent in the language that I speak. So now when I speak these words to you, I got many things to say, but you became barren. When I ask you a question, you don't even know what I'm asking. When I say, when you see me, you see the Father, you don't even know what I'm saying. When I say, in the way you know, that's why you ask me, Lord, show us the way. Because you don't even know what I'm talking about. Because you don't speak the language. You have not submitted yourself and submerged yourself into the language or the dialect of submission. And so you miss out. So now the purpose of it all is really, come unto me, are you that labor. I'm reading chapters and chapters a day, heavy laden, trying to understand it, and trying to get what's going on. And I'll give you rest. Watch this. It's the language of submission. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Watch this. He's trying to tell you, come study abroad with me. Come live in the culture, live in my culture. Watch this. What is the culture? Because for I'm meek and lowly in heart. He says, and when you come live over here with me, when you come submerge yourself in my culture, when you submerge yourself in the dialect of submission, you become fluent. You'll find rest for your soul. Watch this. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But it's only going to happen when you come. Wait, show us where you live at. He said, come, I'm going to show you my house. Come and stay with me. Come and stay with me and dine with me. Come and find out what I say the culture looks like. What does the culture of God look like? Jesus is the culture of God in the flesh. And so now, what I observe will be determined, beat into your card to what? Your faith. What I observe will be determined on how much I've given myself to it. How much I've denied myself and given myself to it. And then we understand the dialect of submission. I can't get over that. I got to listen to this over and over again. Never said that before, but I become affluent in submission. And when I become affluent in submission, I learn the dialect of submission. I'm submerging the culture of submission. Then when he's saying what he's saying, I don't have to be like Peter and rebuke him in Matthew chapter 16. Because I understand when he says, I'm going to be given up to the chief of priests and the elders and be killed and rise up. I know that whole thing because I understand that language. I understand the lingo. I understand the whoop, 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 whoop. How you talking. I understand the language. Because I've submerged. This is living by the book. I've submerged myself in that type of language. But once again, I'm going to say it again, self can't see. So if you're approaching this you're reading the book, trying to learn how to study and approach the Bible, so you're trying to get some more principles to get under your belt so you can go preach a message, or you can be a good minister, or you can go do whatever, or you can raise there, all these things you want to do, you're missing the point. You have to go in and die in the culture. Matter of fact, when people study abroad and they go and live in the culture, they are away from their original culture, their original language, and they almost have to die to that original language in order to arise to the new one. Because that language can't even exist over here. We're not even breathing that type of air. It's the dialect of submission. Self can't see. But when I deny myself, I'll be able to see what he's really telling me in the scripture. And then once I see it, then I can live by the book. Memorizing it, quoting the scriptures, ain't living by the book. That ain't really life. You know the difference between good and evil, but you ain't really living by the book. You understand what I'm saying? But I want to say it again. When I understand the dialect of submission, then I can understand his language. Then we can talk. This is why Jesus starts talking to. It's not even the people of his culture or the people that listen to him and walk with him. He keep on saying great faith. He tells that to a Syrophoenician woman who's not even of his Jewish culture, not even walking with him. And he tells it to a centurion who's a Roman. Why? Because what they function, how they function in was greater submission. Remember the centurion? We'll read that next time. The centurion said, you don't have to come to my house. Just speak the word only and my servant going to be fine. And then he said, I ain't seen such great faith. No, not in all Jerusalem. In other words, my own people ain't got faith like this. They living by the wrong culture. Then she said, you know, him and I, he said, we cast bread, are the children supposed to cast bread? She said, yeah, but the dogs eat from the bread. She said, yeah, but the dogs eat from the bread, from the crumbs of the bread on the master table. He said, woman, I healed the dog. I ain't never seen no faith like this. Why? Because the level of humility and submission was there. And they were speaking Jesus' language. Amen. This is living by the book. I'll see y'all next time.